thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com. Hello and welcome, everybody, to a very special Monday Night Magic, and I am joined by two very hairy, very eligible Magic players. I have Conley and Eric.
Hey, eligible. You know, you say it's a very special show every single week, and I don't understand why this one's any more special than the other one.
If you ask me, every show is special, Conley, because you and Eric are here with me.
Well, there has to be a reason. You can't just be special to be special.
And I also wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to Eric, because he is the mother of a Monday Night Magic.
Okay, that's why it's special. It's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. We're recording this Sunday night. It's Mother's Day. I'm neglecting my own mother to record this show.
If your mother's up at 9:30 at night, probably have some issues there anyway.
Oh, no. I come from a family of night owls. Like, we routinely, my parents were up to like 3 in the morning when I grew up.
Wow.
My dad actually had this backpack with lights on it so he could work on the house when it was dark outside. He literally had this.
I guess there's not much else to do in North Dakota.
I mean, we gotta do your stuff. We finally convinced him not to mow though at night because I'm afraid somebody's just gonna shoot him off of his riding lawnmower some night. All right, guys. As much as this is not a show about sleep disorders, this is a show about Magic the Gathering.
Magic. Smother number two. Everybody.
So to kind of bring you this magic news, we got an interesting mix tonight. We got if anybody's new to the show, me, Tom, kind of more the casual guy. Eric, you're kind of right in the middle. You got the casual side, but you've also played more tournaments than me by a long shot.
Well, let's just say I follow the tournament scene closely, but as far as being heavily involved in it, it's not going to happen. I've recently come to the conclusion that there's really no point for me to play in PTQs because I do not maintain a high enough skill level to actually qualify ever. So,
to be fair, Eric, how long have you been playing the game?
Since Alpha.
Yeah, so I think Eric's probably played in more tournaments than me as well, Tom.
That could be. Eric, did you ever play a tournament when Mind Twist was not yet restricted?
Probably not, because, see, although I have been playing since Alpha, I really haven't played in any tournaments until after say, Invasion.
Oh, okay, yeah, so Mind Twist was... So I still remember when they first restricted Balance, when those decks were still around. When first turn, you had no cards in hand. You're like, yeah, this is a fun game. I love Magic.
That's
to
awesome
be fair,
stuff.
Your opponent also had no cards in hand, since they used 7 Dark Rituals and a Mind Twist to do it.
Well, basically because they played a bunch of Moxes.
Oh, okay.
And then they had the ability to cast spells later on in the game where you really have nothing on the table or in your hand.
And a Balance doesn't even fix that because Mox is not found under the Balance rules.
Exactly. And Conley, do people know you from the game of Magic the Gathering or from movies like The Red Shoe Diaries, like softcore porn?
There's no softcore anything about it, but...
He's just core. He's not even hardcore. He's just core.
Yeah. I started such hardcore films as The Human Millipede, it was just me. I was the only person, though.
Just you rolling around. You had like 1,000 fake legs taped to you?
Taped to a part of me, yes.
Oh, I get it. I just got it, too. You gotta leave me up the trap sometimes, guys.
It's time for me to mother us along past the pre-show intro information actual news.
All I was doing, Eric, was giving all the mothers out there that are listening a little taste of their romance novels that they're currently missing.
Yeah, because if you saw pictures of Conley, he's on that horse. You know, he's got the windswept hair. You know, he's wearing like a dress shirt, but it's unbuttoned down to like where it goes into the pants, and only one nipple is pierced.
I got nothing.
I was hoping that would kill the show right there, Eric. What's our first? Because Conley's not even looking at the show notes. You really got to help us.
Vampire Aristocrat.
Right. What we have is some information on the Friday Night Magic.
Two Yahoos and some show notes here. So, okay.
See, the problem is Tom used to keep the show on track. And then Tom decided that since Eric is around, Eric can keep the show on track. And now I have no one helping me. It's just me.
You're Iron Man. I'm Whiplash. My job is to derail you.
That was the personality of all time.
Right. So the May Friday Night Foil is going to be Cloud Post.
Boop.
You don't like Cloud Post?
Not as a FNM foil. Come on, like it was a common. I hate when they do like.
But wait, I have thoughts about this. So hold on. And then the June FNM is going to be Elvish Visionary. Probably something else that Conley says is poop because it was a
common. No, Elvish Visionary sees play in Extended and Legacy, sometimes in Vintage for budget decks, and in Standard in the Eldrazi Green deck if it chooses to run it. Cloud Post sees zero play in any format other than like Pauper online, which isn't even a real format in physical cards.
But wait, okay. So the Magic Arcana, there was a Magic Arcana this past week that has Ornithopter in it, talking about the various arts of Ornithopter. Now, my thought is that Cloud Post and Ornithopter are going to be in Scars of Mirrodin, and these are their first seeds of cards that are going to be out there. But maybe it isn't going to be Cloud Post that's going to be in Scars of Mirrodin. What if they printed another Locus? Because now that Mirrodin will be rotating out of Extended, you won't have to worry about having the two Locusts making eight Locust lands in Extended. It would only mess with Eternal formats where, I mean, face it, eight Locusts in an Eternal format is not going to be the thing you're going to be doing to go crazy.
If this is the case, then I'll be even more depressed because Cloud Post is only viable in Extended. In Legacy, the format is much too fast to be playing with comes into play tap lands, even if you printed 20 Locusts. So if that is the case, then I'll be even more bummed out. So I'm just going to assume you're wrong.
But all of those casual players will be thrilled to have another Locus.
But aren't you happy to see that on the art it looks like a cloud is pooping out an Aether Spellbomb?
It looks more... Wait, somebody said it looked like a... Oh, I forget. Somebody said it looked like blue balls or something. I thought it was funny. I don't remember.
Blue ball, I'll give you that.
Yeah, they said go to Friday Night Magic and collect your blue balls or something.
So I'm excited. I've always thought the Locust land sort of something was interesting, and they obviously never did anything more with it. I would be happy to see this come back in Scars Mirrodin.
Hey, I mean, I love Cloud Post. I took 10th in my first ever Grand Prix playing 4 Cloud Post and 4 Vesuva in my deck. Like, I love the card to death, but I just don't think it's a very good Friday Night Magic foil.
I mean, what would have made you happy in this slot? Like, what if I said, hey, this is the June FNM foil, and you would have been like, yeah! What card would that have been?
Like something like Muddle the Mixture.
So something really useful, like with Transmute or something that you would actually play
something
with.
Something playable, yeah. Like it doesn't even matter. It could be a Blightning if you want to go Standard. It could be something like Blightning or Terminate. I know they've done full art cards of that, but some people like their foils more than full art cards. You know, you could, like I said, if you go back to Extended, you could do like Muddle the Mixture or even something, you know, less played, like Into the North, or just something semi-playable, whereas Cloud Post has literally seen zero play in the last 3 years of any format. So it's just a really weak card to put out there. Plus, it was a common, and it was in Mirrodin, so, like, people aren't, like, hoarding their Cloud Post. Like, if you want 4 Cloud Posts, you can go online and buy a playset for less than a dollar, probably. So, I don't know. I mean, I understand it's a casual card, but Friday Night Magic's not necessarily, like, casual player ground anyway, like, you know.
Well, maybe they're trying to lure out the casual players.
They're not going to lure them out with a Cloud Post. They should make a Friday Night Magic doubling season or something. They want to lure out.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
Mm. See, right. Tom, Woody already.
Yes, I get very excited with that. Now, what is your thoughts on the June FNM foil, or I should say promo of Elvish Visionary?
Like I said, I think it's fine. He's playing every format. If you do play it, you're playing it as a 4 of. Obviously you're going to play 4 Cloud Post if you're playing it as well, so I guess that points moot. But it sees play in every single format. It's just a solid all-around card. It's been printed twice, so, you know, demand is not necessarily the highest for it, but people do like their foils. I haven't actually seen the picture of it. I don't know if they have a picture out yet.
Not that I have seen myself.
Yeah, so, I mean, the picture's going to be hinged, like, a lot of it's going to be hinged on the picture. But, I mean, that's a fine foil. It's pretty easy to get. I would prefer if they kind of stuck to, like, uncommons or even the occasional rare for FNM, so just because those are the cards that players have harder times getting a hold of. Like, I remember when they would print, like, Eternal Witness or, you know, even, like, Bloodbraid Elf they did a while ago, and, like, people loved it, and, you know, they're giving away $5 bills at that point. Like, I think if they want to get more people to play FNM, they need to up the incentives. Like, you know, Eternal Witness is a very popular casual card and a very popular constructed card. So, like, you know, something like that is a much more middle ground than a Cloud Post, for instance.
Well, it's also hard to compare when recently we've had something like Bloodbraid Elf as being a promo.
Yeah.
That people are obviously going to be very excited for.
Exactly. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be Bloodbraid Elf every time. Like, Elvish Visionary is not nearly as valuable as Bloodbraid Elf, but it's still an okay card.
All right. Have we beaten this one to death, guys? Do we need to move on before...
It's dead.
before I give it more... We'll get into later in the show that I talked about with Jack and you guys, ladies, that the amount of hate mail has been steadily increasing, but we'll get into this during the MTG Cast news section. As long as I don't call anybody obese on the show, up here we'll be fine.
Okay. So Chandra, Duels of the Planeswalkers deck list is announced. It has the same issue that the Guru Cat one had that didn't have Chandra in it.
Oh, God, I'm getting so sleepy.
I thought we were doing Blue Whale impersonations. My bad.
So I'm going to move on into the Starfield section.
Woo-hoo! You guys hear that?
Four hill giants in there?
Hear the gravy train pulling back?
Does it really have four hill giants in that list?
Hell yeah. Two Goblin Sky Raiders?
Wow.
It just punches you right in the face.
Chandra really got boned.
It has a Furnace of Wrath, though. At least I'll give it that. That's a cool card.
Have you ever played against the Chandra deck online, though? Like, you play with any deck, and all they do is, like, they're like, Raging Goblin, like, Goblin Piker, and you're like, 3-3, and then their entire field, they just keep attacking and, like, losing guys to get in 1 point of damage. It's
awesome. You play your giant spider, and it, like, hoses their entire deck.
And then, like, at some point, you have, like, three Spined Worms or something out, and they have, like, four Raging Goblins, and they still attack you and, like, lose their whole squad. It's pathetic.
It is a sad, sad deck. Yeah. We talked about this a little bit last week with the Garrick one. Who do you guys think are going to be buying these?
People who don't know any better.
Yeah. Eric said the same thing. Yeah, just
Eric keeps it real. If you're a noob, jump.
It's true, though. Like, Duels of the Planeswalkers, the actual video game, has an appeal to some people because it's pretty much the only way to play Magic Online other than Magic Online itself, which is more competitive and stuff. And, like, I don't think people want, like, these are literally decks that you can get for free out of those little starter things that they hand out, like the 30-card decks at stores that were just, like, I literally work in a store and we give those away all the time just because they send them to us for free and they're to entice people to get in the game. And these are almost the exact same thing, only they're more than 30 cards.
and they're almost more offensive because there's just more crappy cards in a pile then.
Well, okay. but you might pick up a playset of these if you want to have some decks around to, you know, help teach new people how to play the game.
I would rather just pick up the dual decks. Like, they seem much more exciting. Like, obviously they're gonna have a few more complicated cards, but at the same time, like, you can build, everybody has their set of Suntail Hawks and Hill Giants in their collection that you can build these decks out of if you want to teach a brand new player. You don't need to go out and spend money on them.
Do we know what the cost of these is gonna be? Because they come with a booster pack, if I'm correct.
Well, that's the only reason you buy it, so hopefully they cost the same price as a booster pack.
Well, I mean, if they, say they sold this for like $10, I could maybe see that. You know, really inexpensive.
I would be on board for $10, but that's probably about, like, any more than that, it seems a little, just like a bad deal.
Oh, I'm a little bummed out, guys. Do we have something exciting on the show notes here? Come on.
No, not really. Next couple things are,
Ouch, yeah. Eric's like, no, you guys should probably just stop listening now. I mean, really.
Well, Starcy Games has a survey out.
Let's go watch Mongolian Deathworms on the Sci-Fi Channel. That at least looks kind of cool. Did you guys see the preview for that? It looks like a crappy knockoff of Tremors. It's called Mongolian Deathworms. It was just on this weekend. I T-voted it.
Tom, we have too much cursing on the show, I believe a couple of listeners have pointed out, so we're going to have to reprimand you.
Get out the swear jar, and I'll just put my big middle finger in there for you.
It's a $10 bill every time you swear from now on.
Wow. Used to be a quarter. Apparently inflation is out of control.
We have names to uphold here.
I would curse about that, but I don't have a 10 spot to throw in.
I know, yeah. I think I would be able to, like, half of something, like, just right on the verge. Like,
exactly.
It's like the C word, you know.
I mean, I have a degree in psychology, and you have to understand that a quarter is not enough incentive to not swear. Like, everybody's got loose change, but $10 bills, people stop swearing.
But wasn't there some, like, I can't tell you the exact study, but research that even a gift of like a nickel, like 5 or 10 cents was enough for it, that triggered that feeling that you need to pay that person back? Like, this comes out in, like, drug reps and stuff.
Sure, and it helps is better than nothing, but I'm saying $10 and you won't even consider.
Yeah, I won't even talk for the rest of the show, just in case I may swear.
So, anyway, Star City Games, they've got a survey out about their latest 10K weekend that they want folks to fill out how their experience was and let them know what they can do better and so forth. So follow the link in the show notes if you attended and you want to let Star City Games know how it went.
I do want to give them credit. I've dealt with Craig, who I think does a lot of their articles. He's always been a very cool guy. So
Yes, even when I fill in and absolutely completely mess up the show notes, he's been very helpful in helping me get them corrected.
No, yeah,
I haven't sent him show notes that are right yet.
I know it's sacrilege and everything for me to talk positively about that, but I do have a pretty good crew over there in general.
Well, I mean, even if you write for other sites, I don't think there's anything wrong about saying, you know, hey, I appreciate what they're doing.
What's up with Jerry T dumping Chow Fireball and the great Conley to go over to
SCG? I mean, it's a business. They wanted to pay him more, and like I mean, you know, Jerry T's friends with LSB and stuff. Like, it's not no bad blood. They just, you know, you got to go where the money is.
Now, is this something? I mean, I'm not asking if you ever move, but do you see this as something that's going to continue for the future of kind of, I want to call it competitive magic writing? But there's kind of this. It's almost like television, where you kind of have this constant, almost kind of rotation sometimes.
Sure, but I mean, like, the sites are trying to get a solid writer base, and you know, some people are going to leave due to not playing. Like Jonathan Laux just left Channel Fireball, for instance, because he is putting the game down for a little while, and like, these things are going to happen, and you know, sites are going to pick up new sites. You know, TCG Player just got a huge facelift with Mike Flores and Billy Moreno starting to write for them.
Yeah, and I have a piece in the show notes further down. Paul Jordan, who used to do the metagame breakdowns on the Mothership, he did a metagame breakdown for the TCG Player 5K in Boston, and you know, has been added to their stable as well. I have to say, TCG Player has really upped the ante with the writers that they've added on.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I'm pretty proud of the site. Like, I've been with them for over a year now through. Let's say thick and thin. We've had some lulls and writers, and at one point it was basically me and AJ were kind of carrying the ship, so to speak. And then AJ left, and you know, we have some up and coming writers, but they're nobody. They're like not writers that you come to the site for. They're the writers that you kind of read once you're there. Not to offend anybody, but I hope that makes sense.
No, I mean in my reader, it's certainly a bunch of guys who I click through a lot of the time and just say, yeah, if it's an interesting topic, I might go read their article, but otherwise kind of ignore
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's the thing. Is like, if you see some like big, you know, cool thing you want to read about under their title or whatever, you'll read it. And then possibly, you know, learn to like them afterwards, but they're not necessarily people that have put up high finishes or anything like that, that can get you there strictly on their, merits alone. So, now that we have, you know, people like Flores and Moreno, myself, hopefully writing for them, some of these lesser-known writers can start to get a little bit more visibility, which is always a good thing. And at the same time, like, you know, more money for the site's also a good thing. So,
yeah, I do say Noah Winston, who used to podcast here on MTGCast and still does a I think he does a podcast over on Blackboard.
That was the Super Sunday show, right?
He writes for TCG Player. And, you know, his articles are interesting every once in a while. And it, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. He Twitters back and forth a lot with a lot of the authors that are out there. So if you follow his Twitter, it's kind of interesting to see what he's talking about with Pat Chapin and Mike Flores and folks like that. So
now this is something for kind of for you guys too as the co-host, but also the listeners. For you, what do you think is more important? Like the magic kind of pedigree of the author that they have maybe some sort of writing background or prior writing experience, or is it kind of a combination of the two?
For me personally, I'm at the point where I kind of, the pedigree matters a lot because I'm going to large tournaments where these authors have direct influences, whether they're playing or people will be playing their decks. But before it kind of got big, I would pretty much just read everything no matter what, because you never know where you're going to find that little piece of edge. And the PTQ scene is much different than Grand Prix and Pro Tours, so you're going to have to be looking out for more ideas in more places. But, like, I'm always interested to see the people I'm going to be playing against, what they're writing about and whatnot. And, of course, if they're just a solid all-around writer, I'm going to read them no matter what.
I think that definitely writing, and for me, where I'm at, you know, ability to write well is interesting. Like, there's a lot of people who are notable pros who will write, and I will basically scan their articles to see if there's anything I think is interesting. Other than that, I don't really necessarily read it that much. Whereas if I find someone who writes really well, I'll read all their stuff every time it comes out.
Where do I fall, Eric? Be honest.
Actually, you're in both. I really enjoy your articles.
Stoke it.
But, like, I try to think...
if you want to give him a back massage later, I won't judge you.
I mean, like, for instance, Peter Yawn, His articles aren't going to be filled with a lot of, you know, tournament information that's really going to, you know, make you successful as a PTQ or anything like that. But he writes really well, and I'm usually interested in the topics that he's writing. And then Ricky Hayashi, who does JudgeCast, he writes for Channel Fireball, and I've always enjoyed his writing a lot.
All right. That was a very cool. I mean, this is just for also for people just to hear some other names besides Kylie, like of authors they should be reading. Kylie, do you have recommendations if you could recommend a couple other either authors or articles on the sites that you write for that you would say, hey, make sure to check them out?
Well, yes. Like, I mean, I would, of course, read like LSV and stuff just for the fact that, you know, he's so good and you get so much information from like the mind of one of the best players in the world. I read Paolo's articles as well on Channel Fireball. One of the non-premium side of Star City, I pretty much always read Gavin's articles, partially because I know him, but partially because he's a very good writer. Like, even though his sometimes his topics aren't that relevant to me, they're just like PTQ reports or whatever, which are they're fun reads, and he's a really good writer. And like I said, Flores and Moreno on TCG Player, I would advise you read both of them. Flores is kind of just now getting back into the money writing game because he's, you know, he's never stopped writing for the Mothership, but he's never written for like an independent site for like the last, I don't know, 2 years, I guess, since he left Star City. So he's, you know, and he also has his own blog at Five of Flores, so I would definitely advocate going there and checking that out because he writes separately, stuff separate on there. And I do enjoy, like, Jerry T, who now writes for Star City. I don't know, I probably missed some people. But yeah, there's a ton of people that I like to read. You know, I don't necessarily get to read their articles every single week, but I try to, depending on, like, what my schedule is like and whatnot. Since I'm writing, you know, two articles a week, sometimes I have to put my own stuff first, so.
I think AJ Soccer is someone who you probably
know. Oh, yeah, AJ Soccer, for sure.
Yeah. He was on TCG Player for a while, and you can see his article archive there, and now he's moved over to Star City Games. And, yeah, he has some interesting bent on stuff. Yeah, you have to make sure. I think, like, him and Jerry T, there's some folks who have a really abrasive attitude when they're writing, and you just have to make sure that you do yourself mentally appropriately for that.
I was going to say the same thing. Just read AJ with an open mind. He's actually in real life a really cool guy. I don't know if anyone's ever seen him on like a GG's Live podcast or a cast or anything. You can tell that he's just an all-around cool guy. But when he's writing, sometimes it comes off a little arrogant or whatnot, but he's actually like being sarcastic and, you know, kind of got his own brand of humor. And once you kind of know him, you kind of understand that. Like, he used to get a lot of crap on TCG Player for the way he wrote, just because people thought he was a giant, arrogant butthead, but that's not necessarily the case.
All right, and next we have us. We're talking about Star City Games, so keep the ball rolling here. They recently, we talked about this last week, they had their LOL Drazi contest, and the winners have been announced. They have the top finisher list, they have the runners-up, there's a Family Guy reference, there's a Gideon Jura pun, and all these different internet memes. If you're interested, you can click on the link and go see what those are about. I have not yet looked at them myself. Did you guys, either guys, look at these yet?
I've looked at them, but I have to say that I didn't find a lot of them that impressive, but, you know, I kind of think it's like, I don't think I could do any better, so...
Gideon Jura has me in desperate spot, though. I literally own zero Gideon Jura, and I have, in 2 weeks, I have Grand Prix Washington, DC, and then 3 weeks, I have Pro Tour San Juan, and I can almost guarantee I'll be playing a Gideon at some point during one of those two tournaments, and I own zero. It's kind of a tough card to find around here.
So Conley, do you need me to crack the most of one box that I haven't opened to see if I find one to lend you?
No. I have almost two boxes worth of cards that I'm saving up to draft with, you know, some money drafts and team drafts and stuff between those two tournaments. But if I should be able to borrow some of the cards. It's just that card has me a little depressed because I can't find any of it.
The only one I have is the one I got out of my pre-release.
Yeah, I have not gotten one ever. And, like, I've gotten plenty of all the other mythics. Like, I think I have, like, six Kozilek or some stupid. Like, just no Gideon Juras. It's a bummer.
Now, Conley, do you still do any cube drafting at all?
I cube draft when other people have a cube. Like, cube drafting's, I mean, everybody likes it, even pros and stuff. I've been working on my own cube, but then get sidetracked with, well, life. So, yeah, I mean, I like the Cube Draft, though.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is there's CubeDrafting.com, which is a blog about, as you can guess, Cube Drafting. And I stop by there once in a while. I don't have a Cube myself, but I think it's a really cool format. And there's this most recent month. This was on May 5th by Evan, who must be one of the authors.
It was Evan Irwin.
Yeah.
Oh, is this Evan Irwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he runs that site.
I think I've heard that name. Where have I heard that name? But basically, a very nice article about drafting aggro and Cube. Which is something a lot of times I played is you're usually seeing kind of more wacky combo decks or kind of mid to long range. But it was interesting to hear more about designing a cube to be made for aggro and then drafting aggro in a cube.
Yeah, one of the problems with cube that a lot of people have been trying to address, it's not necessarily a problem, but one of the trends is that with so many dual lands available and bounce lands and shock lands, regular dual lands, M10 duels, you know, et cetera, et cetera, you get to the point where mana is so easy to come by that drafting an aggro deck almost loses its allure because one of the bonuses to aggro decks is usually one or two colors, so you're able to be really consistent. But then, when you have six dual lands in your deck, you're able to play three or four colors really easily and then play like these bomb-heavy control decks with multiple wrath effects. Despite only adding a few wrath effects per color, you're going to branch out and have like two in white and then like one in black and maybe one in red or something like that, and then have this crazy reanimator-style deck just because your mana is so good. So a lot of people like Tom and Pele have moved their bounce lands out of the cube, which some people hate and some people like, but it makes aggro decks a little bit stronger. So if you're a cube drafter out there and you have not read up on any of that stuff, it's something you might want to check out.
Now, I definitely have followed that, but I can't take the bounce lands out. But all I will say is
I love the bounce lands.
Yeah, but I don't have Damnation. I don't think I may have Wrath of God, I'm not sure, in my cube. So it kind of helps in some of the sweep.
You don't have Damnation in your cube? Come on, what are you doing, Eric?
It's the way I put my cube together. And I still haven't really updated it with cards like from Lorwyn forward, so.
And we've also defined before the show started that you guys have different tastes in a lot of things.
I would update. I mean, if I really put the time to it, I would definitely update it with a bunch of different stuff. I still have a bunch of cards that are probably not the power level they need to be.
Tom is alluding to my love of chocolate ice cream and the female derriere.
Yes, and then see. So if I were to make it a clean comment, I would say Conley is an A man.
Well, I said derriere. How is derriere not clean?
Mammary glands is what Eric's into. I'm not sure what the right term for that is.
You just said he likes lactation, I'm pretty sure.
Whatever.
Hey, Tom, do you do any designing for the Android OS?
I did. We'll talk about this. I just wanted to give proper credit when we were talking about this aggro drafting article for Cube. It was posted by Evan Irwin, but the actual author was Usman Jamil. Just want to make sure we gave the right credit for that.
Yeah, and Usman's actually a player in the St. Louis area who has a really spectacular cube. So I haven't had a chance to play in his cube, but some of the folks who've played mine have played in his. So
that sounded horrible. Just so you know.
I was trying to think of a dirty joke to make there, and I just couldn't.
It sounded like
you have
like prison mates. Like
he's got a real cute cube. It's
yeah,
tight, if you know what I mean.
Quite the quite.
So what about the Android stuff there, Tom?
Yeah, well, I put this on Android OS made by Google. It's going to be on, if you haven't noticed, it's on a lot of phones. It's going to be on even more phones in the future. Conley, get your mind out of the gutter right now.
I didn't say a thing.
I heard you giggling, still thinking about tight cubes and good-looking cubes and whatnot. I just kept thinking that instead of C, put a P in front of that and made that sentence really dirty that Eric said. Like, really nice pube. Yeah, whatever. Did you see that Saturday Night Live ad where they, instead of Head and Shoulders, they had the short and curlies? It was the shampoo made just for pubic hair.
Okay, Tom, Android OS.
So Android OS, made by Google. This is, in a lot of ways, Windows 7 mobile is going to be coming out soon, but for right now, Android OS is kind of taking over the mobile phone market. And there is now officially a deck-building tool for the Android OS. I find this interesting because I make non-Magic apps for the Android phones. So I just wanted to put a link in the show notes so you can go check that out. If you have an Android phone, I mean, there's the Droid for Verizon. We've got the HTC Incredible. There's all these different phones coming out. And if you have one, there's now a good deck-building app for it, so you can go get that.
What kind of phone do you have, Conley?
What kind of? I have a phone from when I was poor.
Okay. And what's the phone number for that phone so that the crazy stalker...
Just so I can make sure I have... Just for the crazy stalkers.
No, I actually have a Samsung... I don't know what kind of phone. It was pretty nice. I bought it last year right before Honolulu, like literally as I was heading towards the airport because my other phone crapped out on me. And it was, you know, only like $150 or whatever, but I haven't had the desire to get a new phone yet. I'm waiting for my contract to kind of get past certain points so I can get a bigger discount. But I'll probably be getting a Droid just because I don't feel like going to AT&T in the future. And regarding the number thing that Tom is alluding to, while I love all of you listeners, and I am grateful for the position I am in to be, what's the least cocky way to say this? Pseudo famous, I guess.
The man. I call it magic famous.
I do get a little weirded out when I get random text messages and or phone calls from people I've never met before. There are social networking sites and email, and I understand I don't answer all of them, but it is much more appropriate to use those means of communication. That is all I have to say.
I can tell you I have a Droid for developing, and it is a very nice phone.
No, the text I got earlier today was from North Carolina, and the person had a signature of single after everything they sent me, and I didn't know who it was, so I assumed it was Jack. Turns out it was not Jack.
It was not Jack.
It seemed like he literally, like, I was like, why does this person have single? Like, they would just type a sentence and then randomly period single, and I'm like, what does single have to do with things? So I just assumed, I looked up the area code, and it was North Carolina, so I guessed it was Jack, but it turns out it was some girl that I don't know who it is.
Well, sometimes it's just people learning how to use Facebook. Like, my dad just started recently using Facebook, and he's in his mid-60s, and because he wants to be able to communicate with his grandkids. So he set this up, and he set his own status. He updated his status to something, and he didn't quite understand what the little thumbs up means, so he then clicked that he liked his own status update, and I laughed for about an hour straight.
There's a lot of people that like their own status updates, so, to be fair.
Bruce B. Gustafson says this. Bruce B. Gustafson likes this. I'm like, apparently not as funny as I thought it was when I laughed for about an hour straight. What do we got next here, Eric? We're lagging. Because I don't want to – the Android apps that I develop are probably unusable by a vast majority of the listeners that listen to our podcast.
It's all medical, right, stuff. We know.
Tom, first pick, first pack, triple rise, draft. Do you take a Vengevine or an Induced Despair?
Read me Induced Despair. I'm still learning the names.
Two colors and a black instant as additional cost, reveal a creature from your hand. Target creature gets minus X, where X is the career mana cost of the creature.
I think I would take that one.
Vengevine, it's worth $34.
No, you don't get to keep the cards.
Oh.
Let's say you're at a pro tour.
Okay. Wow.
Well, no, that just means I didn't want the pick to be influenced by whether you get to keep the card or not.
I'm going to say the black removal, because there's so little removal in Triple Rise that I'd say I'd take whatever I can get.
I probably would normally agree with you, but in this case, I think, and this is a topic for an article at some point in the future, in this case, I think I take Vengevine for the simple fact that it is a mythic rare, and you don't get a lot of chances to play with those, so I would like to play with it as frequently as I can. That way, if it does come up in a pro tour, for instance, the pick, I would have more informed decision.
You'd be able to base your decision, not just like, I've never played with a Vengevine, so I just don't know. I'm going to go for
removal. Vengevine's obviously a really good card, but I don't know how often in Limited you're going to be able to trigger its coming back. And plus there are things like Guard Duty and Narcolepsy that keep it from going to the graveyard at all. So while I think I'd probably end up leaning Induced Despair in the long run, I would take Vengevine. This just came up on a practice draft I was doing right now. So I just decided to make the topic a little magic.
And if you take your drafting advice from me, you are horribly mistaken.
Feel free. I was just asking your opinion. Feel free to comment on that in the comment section and let me know what you'd pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's tough when a set comes out so new that, because everybody had such big raging boners over Vengevine, and
yeah.
Like, I haven't heard much about it since.
It's a really good card. It's just there's not a lot of decks it goes into right now in Standard. But I mean, there are things like I've tried decks and Legacy with like Intuition, Intuition for 3 Vengevine, it's pretty sick. It'll eventually see play, especially when Shards rotates out. Right now, it's just kind of in a weird place. It'll probably make a pretty big impact in block. For some news for the Motoers out there, we had the Moto pre-release was on Friday and Saturday, of sealed decks. And on Wednesday, we have the release tournaments that start, so you can do your drafting and stuff starting on Wednesday, which is cool because we'll get to be able to use Modo to practice draft for the Pro Tour and for like the first time ever, because usually Modo is not up to date by the time the Pro Tour happens.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool, because that would be such a nice way to do it.
Yeah. So just in case anyone is not up to date on their Moto or whatever and is interested.
And the next one you can blame solely on me. This isn't really a news item. It's just an interesting article that I stumbled upon. We were talking before the show that, I mean, this even came during the pre-release, that I thought the Eldrazi spawn tokens going to a big Eldrazi would be a ton of fun. I found out that, to me, it was a big letdown. I didn't find that very fun. But what I have found as being a fun card is Beastmaster's Ascension. Because overall, I found it to be very easy to get up to the 7 quest counters to get +5/+5. And it seems to fit really well with Rise of the Eldrazi, where you can just poop out an enormous number of spawn tokens. And then I was reading this article over on Mana Nation, and another card that I didn't think about combining with these is Coat of Arms.
Well, did you read my article on Channel Fireball, Tom?
This week?
Yes.
I have not read it this week, no.
Well, there is a deck list in there you should check out with a bunch of Rise of the Eldrazi spawn makers and Warp World. And
Those, like, you need like a chalkboard though to keep track of.
Yeah, well, I have like 20 tokens, but also it uses a dragon appeasement, if you know what that card does, which you probably don't because nobody's used it ever.
Yeah, just share with me. Help me.
Three colors, black, green, red, so Jund colors. It was actually the only black card in the main deck of my list. Enchantment, you skip your draw step, but whenever you sacrifice a creature, you draw a card. So you can either warp world into it, which will usually let you warp world into something else because you start sacking Eldrazi and drawing a bunch of cards so you get another warp world. Or you can use it like as your warp world early, play it, just generate a ton of card advantage by making mana and drawing cards at the same time, and then playing something like an Eldrazi Monument or something and just going off from there.
Oh, to be honest, I have never even seen that card.
Nobody, it literally was a last pick in draft because there was not enough stuff to combo with it, even with Devour, and it's sat on people's like bookshelves gathering dust for the last year.
I don't even think I have very many of them because I didn't draft them.
No, it literally, unless you got it last pick, you did not take it.
It's an uncommon, so unless you're like me and buy 4 of every common uncommon, you're probably not going to have any.
Yeah.
You would have thrown it away and be like, ugh.
I tried the sacrifice deck in Shards like a couple times. One time I got a Dragon Broodmother, and like so I tried it out, and it was just poop.
Okay, I'm trying to find your article on Channel Fireball right now, but it's giving me problems.
It's the bottom article on the main page right now, should be.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
It goes up, it went up Wednesday night. Another thing to note is that my articles will now be going up Thursday nights. It's not the bottom article anymore because they put up a video. My articles will be going up Thursday nights at 10, so Friday nights, or Friday days, I guess, is when it's going to be released due to some scheduling conflicts with my work in real life. So if anyone's looking for me, I'll be shifted to Thursday nights.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. It's a very nice picture of you at the top of your articles. I like it. It's like the picture you use for everything.
No, it's not.
I've seen that picture. Oh, wait, somebody turned you into a Girl Scout from that one. That's where I recognize it from. Okay.
I didn't
recognize you without lipstick in the picture. That's sadly...
That's my Pro Tour Top 8 picture. my picture on Facebook, I'm making out with a bear.
That's the way I just normally envision you. But
you know, if someone is really keen on Conley's face, they could get it tattooed on them. And there is a tattoo artist that is willing to trade Magic cards for his services.
If anybody gets a tattoo of me on their body, I might have to get a restraining order against them.
Yeah, that'd be really creepy, I think.
That's like beyond creepy. Are you kidding me?
Let's see. So this is an innovative tattoo artist in Waterbury, Connecticut. I'm reading what Eric put in there, so it's not like I found this. Has come up with a simple solution to tide the times over. He's trading his work for magic cards. So you give him magic cards and he'll tattoo your body. How many Tarmogoyfs would it cost for me to turn a certain part of my anatomy into like a barber pole or a candy cane?
Oh God!
Hey, is it saying like how is like is it like area of skin per card or something?
My guess is he probably trades for at cards at like 50% value or something.
He trades for video games too.
Yeah, I'm reading this. It says 90% of his transactions are still made with cash. He is willing to negotiate trades. Who would otherwise be unable to afford the body alterations?
I've seen some sweet magic tattoos though. Like I've seen like the water symbol from the islands. Like fade into the skull symbol from Swamps and stuff like that. Like I've seen some pretty sweet ones.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It says the average tattoo at his shop will cost about $150, so
So one
basically
thing
like two Jace. Is that crazy? Like Jace the Mind Sculptor is like $75. That's insane.
Hold everyone. I literally in my article because like it went down right away because nobody was playing it, and like I was kind of the first person to make the top eight of a premier event at Grand Prix Oakland with three of them. I was like, everybody pick them up now. They're $45. Like they're going to be 70. They'll probably top out around 75. I don't see them going too much higher than that. And nobody listened to me, and now they're $70. And
oh no, I listened. I just couldn't afford 45.
You could have literally bought them for 45 as an investment and turned around and sold them and made $25 per card over a 1 month span.
That's pretty good. There's not a whole lot of things where over 1 month you could get pretty much a 50% return on your investment.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Conway's got it down. I was also on my set review for Sphinx of Drow. I gave it like a 3 when everyone else was like, this card doesn't do anything. Baneslayer's better. And then look at that. It became a staple.
So what did we learn? Is you should listen to Conley. That's what we're...
I'm pretty good at the card evaluations. All I'm saying is how...
I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm tooting my own horn by saying I'm pretty damn good.
I mean, sometimes I legitimately mess up. I didn't give Spreading Seas. I gave it like a 1.5 or something because that kind of card had never seen play ever when I rated it. And to be fair, it didn't see any play for the first... Well, basically until like Worldquake came out.
I mean, do you feel like it's wrong to rate a card lowly when it really only stars in one deck? I mean,
no, but Spreading Seas is in every single blue deck, Tom. It's literally the best card in Standard. There's not a blue deck in Standard that does not run Spreading Seas.
Well, is that more just because Jund is the Juggernaut? I mean, if Jund wasn't there, would it still?
It's because of Jund and Manlands and all kinds of stuff like that. Taking somebody's Tectonic Edge while they're tapped down, like anything like that. Plus, it cantrips. Granted, those were not decks when I did the evaluation, so like. That's fair, but at the same time, I basically said it wasn't going to see any play at all. I didn't even give it like a, this might see some play, like just like convincing Mirage, nobody was going to be like, oh, this card will see play in one deck or whatever. But then, of course, when Contaminated Ground comes out of the new set, everybody's like, oh, it could see play in the same decks that Spreading Seas sees play in, just because like now we have a basis for that sort of card.
Okay.
So it was literally no card like that has ever seen play before, just... you know, there are plenty of cards that turn things into islands, like Sea's Claim. Aquatex will have saw some play, but that's because it was a merfolk and it drew you a card and tapped something and did all this cool stuff. But
it was kind of like when Necropotence first came out. Nobody had really seen a card like that before, and pretty much every place gave it a zero score, and then, of course, it became one of the best cards of all time.
Yeah,
nothing. It was not
absolutely nothing there. Okay.
Necropotence was like in like the third or fourth expansion.
It's just like, hey. All right, well, should we keep moving?
Yes.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about the Super Pals deck, which...
Quit calling it stupid names.
That's what the article calls it.
No, okay, so Pat Chapin...
I call it, you know, the Avengers?
Pat Chapin was a little, like, he kind of blew up on his article about people calling things stupid names, and while I don't agree with his method of kind of attacking people, I do agree with his sentiment that stupid deck names that weren't given by the deck name, by the deck creator... are pretty bad. There was no Super Friends, Team America, Super Pals, Peanut Butter and Jelly, like Famunda Cheese. These are not real names of decks. Quit using them. It's just Blue, White, Red, Planeswalker, Control.
What about
I understand it's harder to say, but it's also more descriptive. People know what you're talking about.
I'm just looking out for the environment. You know, I'm saving energy by typing less. You're using less bandwidth when you're downloading articles.
If
I'm thinking about the environment.
For the environment, call it Captain Planet.
Well, I don't think that's square, because Captain Planet, I would consider being all five colors, because he was for the forest and the mountains and everything else.
Well, then make a five-color deck and call it Captain Planet.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Take you up on that. Again, I'm just going to stop talking. I just kill the show every time I open my mouth.
hey, Tom?
Hey, Eric.
Did you happen to see the Magic Game Day cards that they're putting out?
I saw the first one. I'm going to make no comments on the second one.
It's Stagger Shock and Deathless Angel.
Oh, yes.
She's very normally proportioned.
Yeah, Tom has a history with Deathless Angel.
Tom, can I just say, like, this is a free podcast. People listen to it for entertainment purposes. You're allowed to share your opinion. I don't care how much hate mail you get. You think she's fat? She's fat in your mind. That's all that matters.
That's still true in my mind. I'm just not going to verbalize anymore, because you can't imagine how many emails I got about that. And usually it's not like, you know, I disagree. It's just like, if you ever say anything like that again, it's always a threat that I will stop listening to your show, which is not very effective when it's free.
People are weird. Like, you think she's fat? She's fat. Like, I looked at the picture, the full art one. I'm not going to say she's fat, but she's fatter than in the non-full art one, because she's a little more magnified.
That's true.
I don't know. I'd do her.
Just well, saying. Eric, we've already discussed
that. Was that Eric that said that?
Eric, we've already discussed, because she's larger, she has larger memory. Front range stuff, and that's what you're into.
Yeah, so moving on. Hey, for all you NorCal players, if you are thinking about not attending the national qualifiers being held in Southern California, Sun Mesa Events wants you to reconsider. They're the tournament organizer for the national qualifier in California, and they've announced a bunch of incentives for folks who come down from Northern California. So, I mean, there's some pretty heavy discounting going on if you're going to play and you're from that area of California. So,
but wait, there's more. Oh, I thought we were doing like a commercial thing, Eric.
There's a free box of Eldrazi that'll be given away.
There's a free box.
There's side events.
You get discounts. You get, like, if you bring friends, you get, basically Glenn Goddard is trying to ease the pain a little bit for the North California players that now have to drive a much farther way. For the regionals or national qualifiers, excuse me. And I think even without these incentives, you should be going because it's one of the better establishments in competitive magic for the everyman. And I understand it changed slightly, but it's still basically the regionals we know and love. So get down there, get your free box, possibly, do some cheap drafts, and have fun. Make it an event.
Like, how far of a travel are we talking here? I mean, I think there's lots of people that have to travel for tournaments.
Like, we drove from Oakland to San Diego, or I guess Mission Viejo, from the Grand Prix to the Pro Tour, and that was about a 6-hour drive. So, we're talking 6 to 8 hours to get down to LA, where the thing is, if you're in North California, sometimes even a little bit longer.
That's pretty hard to drive. I'll give you that.
Yeah, so I mean that's like the distance you drive for PTQs. But I mean, if you think about it, like regionals kind of is a PTQ, and there's more slots. Granted, you don't get a plane ticket, but you get to possibly go to Minneapolis and visit with Tom and myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. So I mean, I wonder if people would get angry there though if they're not from, and where they define Northern California. It seems like, do they have like these counties or Northern California? Like, how do you dictate that?
I don't know. They do it themselves. They call them, like, people say they're from NorCal or SoCal or whatever. It's just, California's, it's close to Texas on the, we don't care about the rest of the country thing.
I've never been to either state, actually, for either California or Texas.
I mean, they could both pretty much support their own country if they wanted to.
They're larger than many countries.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of people. I think North Dakota could also support itself as a country. It has, like, oil and food and wind.
And, not really enough population.
Yeah, the three people would all have to procreate with each other despite being in the same family to keep the country alive.
It'd make for good family reunions. It'd just be like one big party.
Yeah, one big orgy.
Hey, speaking of big parties, the party about mythics and their costs has been joined by both Benny Smith and Peter Yan, who are Freeside columnists on Star City Games. And they have different viewpoints on it. They both went up either, I think, on Friday or Thursday. And the articles are really interesting. So I encourage you to go out and give a read to each of those. I read Peter's first and then Benny's next. And, I mean, they're starkly different. I found myself agreeing with Peter when I read him. And then I read Benny's, and it's like, well, he seems to have some maybe legitimate points.
Did you just segue parties to mythic prices?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to clear that up. Could be the most retarded segue of all time. We'll roll with it.
Yeah. Look.
I don't pay him anything, so give the guy a break. Come
hey,
on.
If the guy blushes at the word orgy, then I can't really do anything about it.
He's looking at the Tory Seeker's catalog right now. He's completely distracted. You know, he's trying his best.
Talking about the creepy emo band before was a real thing back in the 90s, and he took offense to it, so it's okay. By the way, regarding the price of mythics, I'm not going to be writing an article about it. I've gotten some requests, but I don't think my readers in general want to read my thoughts about prices of mythics. I'll let the Benny Smiths and the Peter Yawns do that.
What is the overall feeling? Are people feeling that the prices are too high? Or
the thing is, right, you have Jace, you have Baneslayer, you have in these sets, these
Gideon's 50.
Yep. Yeah, Gideon. I mean, you have these massively expensive cards, one or two of them from each of the recent sets, and it's driving people batty, you know. But the thing that most people fail to realize is that, okay, so your dual man lands, or Creature Lands, or whatever you want to call them, you know, they, I mean, they're what, the $5 to $7 range?
They would be, if this was on spot, they would be $20 a piece.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the sack lands, your fetch lands, I mean, they're still in, you know, the teens. You know, there's no way that they would have that cost if you didn't have mythics in there and the smaller set sizes, which they weren't going to do smaller set sizes without mythics. So the same thing. I mean, so prices as a whole are deflated, but some of these mythic cards are just astronomical in prices. And, you know,
but I mean, if you think back, like, even before we had mythics, we did have expensive cards. We had, you know, Tarmogoyf was 50 when it was in standard. You know, Mutavault was close to 40. Bitter Blossom hit like 30, 35 at one point. You know, we've always had expensive cards. Yes, these are a little bit more expensive. That's because they see play in basically every format. You know, as, you know, powerful cards, Baneslayer is, driven a little bit by the fact that it's a core set card and a new core set card. So, not as much product was open. Jace, like I said, that's more the fact that it literally sees play in every single format and every player wants, you know, 3 to 4 of them.
And casual players want them too. I mean, that's another thing. These aren't cards that are just good for your tournament players. I mean, they're cards that appeal to casual players too. Who doesn't want a gigantic life-gaining first striking angel?
Yeah, but how many casual players want an Tarmogoyf or whatever? So, I mean, that was almost strictly driven by competitive stuff. So,
it was. But it's also the run up to these things and to get exceptionally expensive has just been ludicrous. I mean, Jace and Gideon, these cards haven't been available for like less than $40 a piece. I mean, and that's what's ridiculous. And before, you know, these cards used to be, if you could make the call right, you could get these cards when they were cheaper. The thing is, people are really speculating hard. At some point, people aren't going to speculate correctly, and it's, you know,
there is basically a time when every set comes out where you can buy a playset of the set, four of every single card, for around $500. And if you did that for something like World Wake or whatever, you would not only have all, you know, 20 man lands you need, you would have four Jaces, which basically pays for the thing itself. Like, you're talking about $280, but for Jaces alone, that's not counting, like I said, man lands and all the other decent cards in the set, like Abyssal Persecutors and things like that. So, I mean, like, there are times where you can take advantage of these prices, but, like, at the same time, I think it's kind of cool that these people are, like, you know, they're getting the chance to open up a $70 card. I just wish, like, if Jace was around 50, I would be completely fine with it. And I think that some of the, like, the Manlands, for instance, I wish they were closer, like, if they were, like, 15 to 20. LSV and Tristan Sean Gregston did a pretty good video over on Channel Fireball. I'd advise everybody to go check out, where they basically say, like, things need to be closer to the middle, to where some of the cheaper cards need to be a little more expensive and some of the more expensive cards need to be a little bit cheaper, and it would kind of make opening packs a better value overall, because you're either going to open up a $20 card or a $50 card or whatever. Just the super high variance is the problem. Like, you have, you know, two $50 cards in the new set, or then, like, a couple $15 cards, and then a bunch of, like, $5 to, you know, $8 cards, and it makes opening packs a little too risky.
That's true, because obviously what they want people to do is buy packs. I mean, that's what the end of the story is at the end of the day for Wizards of the Coast.
And people are. Like, Jace literally sold World Wake by itself. You didn't even need to have a single other card in that set, and it would have sold it, so.
Truth. But I feel like it was almost like a negative thing for the game, where people were buying packs, and most of the time they were angry about it. It's like, oh, I bought a box, I didn't get one Jace.
But Magic players are angry about everything all the time.
True enough.
This is my running joke at the local place where I'm at. They'll say, yeah, so-and-so, you know, that would make people complain. I'm like, it's Magic players. They're going to complain about something. Yeah.
I mean,
this free cards, they'll complain. It's like, not good enough.
It's a cloud post. I hate cloud posts.
Oh. It is cool to those people that are doing trades. You know, they're able to turn a bunch of $10 cards into a $70 card, and then if they want to go and sell that on the secondary market, they make a ton more money. I've been selling a bunch of cards recently on the secondary market, some of my older cards, and making a bunch of money. And, you know, my Jaces and Tarmogoyfs have sold faster than some of my dual lands just because players need them. So, like, if you're smart about it, you do good trades, you buy when you need to, just like a stock. If you look at it like stocks, like, people don't complain when their stock is through the roof, and then the next day it's, like, down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be smart about it, and purchase things when you need to. Like, it does suck that, you know, there is a $70 card on some facets, but at the same time, there's other facets where it's like, this is awesome. I just open up, or I won my draft, for instance. Like, that's one good way is, like, you do drafts, and then you do rare picks instead of just keeping what you open or keeping what you collect. And then, you know, you win your draft, and you get the first pick of the rares is, of course, your Jace or whatever. And, you know, you paid $11 for your draft, you walk away with $70. So, like, you're being rewarded for doing a good draft. So, like, there are ways to collect these cards that are more cost efficient.
And then next we have, actually I saw this, Eric, and I saw you put this on here, is a web-based life counter. And I got to work by actually following the link that was in the StarkEngineMost.com page. The one thing that's weird to me is by default it only has a minus 10 and a minus 5, or a plus.
You can also get it to fire off on just by pressing the, there's a thing with just changing it. Where it says gain and lose, if you hit that.
You can actually just change it then?
It's by one, yeah.
Ah, okay.
But, like, I couldn't get it to work on my phone.
Which I'm assuming is where most people are going to be using this.
Yeah.
I have a quick vintage / legacy announcement as well.
Oh, go for it.
In France, I believe, if you are in Europe and listening to this and you do not know about this, you need to. The 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th of May, there is a thing going on called Bazaar of Moxen. And it is a huge sequence of various tournaments. There are Elder Dragon Highlander tournaments, there's Legacy tournaments, Vintage tournaments, etc. They're going to be giving away over 190 dual lands, over 38 pieces of power, and, you know, Mana Drains, Bazaar Baghdads, Mistress Workshops, etc., Force of Wills, of course, all that kind of stuff. They're going to give away, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of cards. So if you're in Europe or you kind of want to take the risk and fly over there, it's going to be soon. It's going to be next weekend, I guess. So, you know, if you haven't heard about this, go check it out. BazaarOfMoxen.com. Bazaar-Moxen.com. And it should be a huge tournament for Eternal formats and a few casual formats as well.
Who do you know who is funding this?
I believe...
Some crazy French guy, or like, is this like a company?
I don't know. It's the fourth one to occur. They've had three previous, so I think it might be. I don't know. But like, for instance, there is a legacy tournament on Saturday, and first place gets 40 four and black border dual lands. Second place gets 40 white border dual lands. Third place gets a Black Lotus. Fourth place gets a Recall. Fifth place gets a Time Walk. Sixth place gets a Time Walk. Seventh and eighth place gets Mox Sapphires. All the way down to 16th place, which is still getting four Volcanic Islands. So you're talking about like insanely high prizes for these things. And the prizes technically go down to 50th place, I guess. And you can, of course, check out all this stuff on BazaarMoxen.com. I don't know too much about it. I'm not flying over there, unfortunately. I didn't hear about this in time. But you're talking about pro tour levels of money here. So
yeah, this is crazy. I'm looking at the website right now. It's apparently kind of sponsored by a few different websites. Looks like they're kind of going in on this.
Yeah, there are multiple countries involved and stuff like that.
Weird. That's...
If this was within driving distance, I would go play in that.
Yes, this is an hour from Lyon and less than 20 minutes from Geneva, is what it says on their little scrolling banner.
Okay, despite me making an announcement on my Facebook, making an announcement on the podcast, and telling this person individually not to text me anymore, I just got a text from the same person that says, sup, single, period.
What's up, so single over here, yeah.
Despite me literally telling them not to text me anymore.
Well... In the person's defense, they at least haven't heard the nofer on the podcast yet.
I said it on my Facebook, and I literally texted the person not to do it and told them to get a hold of me on Facebook, and they said they would, and they added me as a friend, which, to be fair, I've not accepted yet because...
they scare you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can't block text, right, unless you were to actually call your phone company and say, hey, I don't want text from such and such number?
You should do it on their website, too.
Oh, okay.
At least you can on Sprint.
I would prefer if people were just decent human beings and understood not to text numbers you had no idea, you never met the person, or anything like that. I don't know how they got my number. So
just take a random sampling of the hosts of this show, and you'll find people are not decent human beings in general.
Hey, Jack has some mental problems. Don't be so quick to judge.
All right, what's our last few things here, Eric?
Writing tournament reports. You want to write them better? Mananation.com has an article up about how to write better tournament reports. I found it an interesting read, and I think I agreed with most of the points. So That's my thought. I've already talked about Paul Jordan joining TCG Player. So that brings us to what you've been playing.
What about you, Conley? We'll start with you. Are you preparing for the Pro Tour right now? Kind of what's on your plate, your magic plate?
I'm preparing for a Grand Prix DC and the Pro Tour. I will be playing in the national qualifiers next week, but will be dropping before the top eight. I'm basically using the day as a test day to test out my standard deck. I don't want my list published, so I'll be dropping before the top eight.
That's because all top eight deck lists are going to get published, right?
All top eight deck lists get published, and I've already qualified for nationals, so there's really no gain for me. And, of course, if I play any of my friends, I'll scoop to them. But I'm basically going, it'll be cool if I win some packs or whatever, but I'm basically just going just to spend $25 to get some quality testing in, because there's almost never a substitute for testing if you're able to do it in a tournament setting. Just because people are more competitive, you have, you're testing literally the way you're going to be playing, so that's always a good thing. And DC is the week after, so it should be pretty good representation of the metagame. I played in the pre-release, two pre-release flights of the Sealed online for Rise El Jolly, just to get a feel for some of the cards. My first one was pretty insane. I had Drauna, Blood Chief, or whatever.
That thing is a house. You pretty much win.
Yeah, and I had Sphinx of Magosi.
Nice.
So I had two huge bombs, so I just played like a super control deck with a bunch of early defensive guys. I had eight removal spells because I splashed two Heat Rays and a Stagger Shock off of a Prophetic Prism and two Evolving Wilds.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yeah, then I had like a Vendetta, multiple Induced Despairs, a Narcolepsy, Last Kiss, like all kinds of insane removal, and then just a bunch of defensive guys and a few levelers. So that deck was pretty sweet. I 4-0'd and won my 10 packs. My next draft was, or my next sealed was not quite as good. I had the Hedron Matrix, the equipment that gives your guy plus X, where X is its corrosion cost.
Yeah.
But it cost 4 to play and 4 to equip. And my problem was, I had two Sky, Sky Watcher Adept or something, the one mana leveler that becomes a 4-2 flyer eventually.
Yeah.
And then I had two Null Champions, and like those are the guys that I drew most often, and Hedron Matrix sucks on them. I didn't really have any huge bombs, and I kept playing bomb after bomb for my opponents, like Nurkana Revenant was whooping my butt, and Kargan Dragonlord stomped the crap out of me. So I quickly went 0-3 and then dropped, despite, like one time, for instance, I was playing against an opponent who also had a Hedron Matrix. He had it on his Emrakul's Hatcher, and I was at 6 life. He had no cards in hand. I had put lethal on the board to where I was swinging for lethal next turn no matter what, and had 3 blockers back to block his 8-8, and he ripped Rapid Flames, and made none of those guys be able to block and killed me. So I had a little bit of bad luck. All my matches went to 3 games. I didn't even play the 4th match because you don't get any prizes afterwards. Which is one thing that sucks, by the way. Like, first place gets 10 packs, second place gets 3-1 gets 4 packs, 2-2 gets 1 pack, so like, it's a pretty crappy prize payout. I think it should be like 10 packs, 6 packs, 3 packs or something, but whatever. I think they should, they're gonna make the money, I guess, anyway, but
a little more incentive to hang through it, though, to see if you can get that 2-2.
Like 1 pack is just demoralizing, and like 4 packs is not even like 3-1 is a pretty good record for a sealed, and like 4 packs is like enough to do a draft, and you're talking about 30 tickets to enter these. So I mean, it's a pretty big investment, and like other than the fact that it's the only way to play Rise for 2 days, they kind of take advantage of that fact. So I think they should up the prizes a little bit. It doesn't really hurt them too much. But other than that, that's what I've been playing. What about you, Eric?
So I've gone ahead and I've made a colorless EDH deck with Karn as general, and I haven't had a chance to take that one out for a spin yet, but I am looking forward to doing that sometime soon. And then I took my boxes out to my local shop and got together with my casual play group, and we built sealed decks and played 2-on-2 sealed deck. So not two-headed giant, but two versus two as far as like teams. So it was a lot of fun.
There's something classy about playing colorless EDH, as it forces you to have a truly EDH singleton deck. And I think there's something classy about that.
Yeah, when I started looking, the guys on MTG Radio, the guys who talk EDH a lot of the time, they mentioned it, and I went and pulled a search on the lands, colorless lands that produce mana.
There's a ton.
Or lands that produce, and there's a bunch, and lo and behold, I own most of them. So it was like, oh, well, I'm just going to go ahead and pull these together and try to give it a shot, and threw in pretty much all the Eldrazi I own, and yeah, I think it's interesting. So Sundering Titan, I think, is going to be a beating in that deck. So.
Let's see, and I guess we played a little bit of EDH this weekend. I just still having fun with my Experiment Karrage deck, and that's actually where Beastmasters Ascension got thrown into that, and everybody just got decimated by little tiny brood tokens from the different spikes in the deck. Make one ones, but if they're all 6/6s, that's a little bit more threatening. And also, I've been trying to kind of dabble a bit with Standard. I'm not a big Standard guy. I put together the Wall of America, the white blue red wall deck, just for solely just for fun. Then really dabbling with the red-green Eldrazi spawn along with Coat of Arms or Beastmaster's Ascension.
Play it with Warp World.
If I had some Warp Worlds, I definitely would.
It's like a 90-cent card.
Well, that's the thing where I've found, my local card shop does not really have singles. I mean, you're not going to get your singles there. So the only way for me to really get singles that I need is to order them online through an online card store. And then you've got that week turnaround.
Can I just tell you this, Tom?
Yeah.
I don't mean to take advantage of any of the listeners, but you do run a pretty outstanding podcast, and you're talking about a card that is on Star City is worth 59 cents. So I'm pretty sure you can get a listener to send you 4 Warp Worlds without hesitating. Just saying.
I guess I've never even thought about it. I've had a few listeners throughout the year send me cards, but I guess I've never actually asked for cards.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not really asking for cards. You're just like, just people know. I mean, like, people have Warp Worlds. Like, obviously, my plea for Gideons is not going to be fruitful because it's a $50 card. But you're talking about a 50-cent card. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. If you want to email me, I will happily take your Warp Worlds. It's an enormously fun card. And usually awesome. Most people's faces just glaze over when you play that. There's like, oh.
BMWs are also an outstanding automobile.
They're a very nice card that I would also be willing to accept. Don't send me a smart car. I won't accept that.
I'm pretty sure you will.
Just get stuck into a snowbank for the rest of the winter. It's like, oh, that sucks. I guess I could probably lift it out myself, though, if I got stuck in a snowbank. It's like, oh, there you go. You're back on the road. All right, guys, we have... What's our last piece of news here? This is about the TCG Player 5K.
And, we skipped over that one. I've told you to talk about Paul Jordan joining TCG Player.
Yeah, I think the actual last piece of news would probably be something about Armageddon. Am I wrong?
What?
No? You didn't get it? Okay, never mind.
Fill me in. When I miss a joke, gotcha. I want to know what it's about.
You said what is the last piece of news, and like that would have to be something about the end.
It is all of a sudden just
Armageddon.
Wrath of God comes and just static.
Never mind. All right, I didn't mean Armageddon the card. I meant Armageddon the end of the world.
The end of the world thing, because that's what we like to bring it down to the low,
where Bruce Willis will save us all.
While we've been talking, I did find 5 cloud posts for you, Conley.
I don't want any cloud posts.
You don't want God's contact lens? I mean, the art is just atrocious. You want?
I have 100 cloud posts. I just don't want it as a...
You have 5 signed cloud posts by me.
No, but people ask me to sign their cards. I don't really
Should
look...
Should people cool. send you signed cloud posts for listeners of a said popular Magic podcast?
No. They could send me cards to sign, which I've had happen multiple times. I do not want signed cloud posts myself.
If people send me
Should
cloud
they call
posts,
you on your
okay
phone?
I send them to you.
I hate you guys. Stalking is bad, everybody. No stalking. Let's be grown up. No stalking.
It actually is, when it does actually happen to you for kind of the first time, it actually is incredibly scary and creepy. Like
no, it's pretty creepy. Like I'm a huge person. Like I literally can handle myself. But I don't want to get sued for like I've had some creepy.
I bet you can handle yourself.
I'm just saying.
Hey,
ooh, I know I handle myself real good.
The guys from YoMTG Taps had Twittered me here. Big Head Joe from their show. He wants Tom to know that he was in a B movie called Isle of the Damned.
Big Head Joe was?
Yeah, he was the cannibal chief pictured on the cover. So
What was the name of the movie? Isle of Zombies?
Isle of the Damned.
Isle of the Damned. Tell Big Head Joe I will be looking that up.
Okay.
I am willing to buy movies on VHS. I bought The Hunter of the Future because it's not available on DVD on VHS through eBay. Yes.
Shouldn't they have every movie available on DVD by this point?
No, I mean Pure Luck with Martin Short and Danny Glover is not on DVD.
You would just think every movie ever would have been converted to DVD by somebody at this point.
I would have agreed with you. And Pure Luck is not a movie that enough people have seen that where they recognize the name of the movie, and that is not on DVD.
Guess what I get on DVD in a few days?
Avatar?
No. Have you seen the infomercials for P90X?
Yes. I actually get those commercials are so convincing, I actually pulled it up on my computer at home to learn more about it.
Well, I ordered it. My best friend Sarah wants to do it, so I ordered it for her, and I'll be doing it with her for a couple days a week every week, probably like 3 days a week because she'll take it home with her the rest of the time. But I ordered that along with the chin-up bar and stuff. This is a fairly big investment, but she knows people that have done it, and you know results were pretty good for them and stuff. So I'm going to give it a shot. No, I've literally never bought anything off an infomercial before in my life. But
now, Colin, if I could point you towards a workout device that could work your muscles up to 240 times a minute.
Oh no, we covered this last week.
I don't want the shake weights.
Oh, okay. I mean, the results, I mean, you see the guy, I mean, you can't argue with the results. That's a problem.
No, but like, and this looked like a pretty gimmicky thing, but the company itself, Beachbody, is pretty reputable. I mean, you're basically, it's a workout program, so it's not like a gimmicky, like, device or something like that, really.
No,
so,
I mean, like, I was at a workout place watching a TV about a workout program, which is just blows your mind at the same time. But yeah, it was very convincing, but like you said, it was a whole, it had like a diet thing to go along with it. It was like these DVDs of...
Yeah.
And it wasn't crazy. It was like, an hour a day,
it's
I think?
A day for 90 days. Yeah. I've been on a diet for about a month. I 4 weeks ago, last Friday, so I would say 30 days, so basically a month. And I'm pretty much over the whole wall phase where like I need to crave like, you know, sugar and stuff like that. So I've been doing pretty good on my diet, so I'm proud of that. So I figured this would be the next step just to kind of expedite things. My goal was lose 50 pounds by Amsterdam in September, so we'll see how that goes.
That's pretty fast, but I think...
Well, I've already lost 15 to 20, something like that. Like, I would start at, like, 315, 320. So, like, 50 pounds for me is not, like, a normal person where, like, they would look unhealthy afterwards. But, like, I can't really get below 250 without looking gross.
You're 6'3" or something, you think?
6'5", 6'6".
Okay, there you go, yes.
I can't really get below. And I'm just, like, a very large person in general. I have, like, really thick wrists and thick bones and stuff. So I can't really get below 250 without looking weird, so... But, yeah, my goal is, like, 265-ish I'll be happy with. And right now, I just got under 300 again, so I'm on track.
I'm a mighty 5'9".
Well, it's all the same laying down.
It is. It's what pokes up from the top, boys. All right, guys, we're going to listener emails. And I have to say, I appreciate everybody who's been emailing. The number of emails I've been getting have been going up astronomically.
This could be the longest show ever, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. Well, okay. You know it's a good show once we get to talk about P90X. That's a hell of a show right there.
And you were talking about DVDs, and I haven't bought a DVD in a while. So.
Yeah, well, it's only funny because I know exactly the access. I pulled up P90X.com to look at the program.
Yeah.
So if you want to email us, you can email me, Tom, at pitimp, P-I-T-I-M-P, at mtgcast.com. Conley, where should they be sending their random texts and other Rule 34 things?
No random texts, although if you have done P90X, I would be interested to hear how it went. Just send everything to Conley at mtgcast.com, where you will not find my phone number.
And what about for you, Eric?
You can reach me at Eric, E-R-I-C, at mtgcast.com.
I'm going to have to give you, like, Big Mama at mtgcast.com or something like that. Oh, or God. Mama Bird.
What about... Never mind, I'm not going there.
I was thinking about something else, yes, from the beginning of the show. G-Man.
Mother's milk at MTGK.
Pick some random name at mtgcast.com, and if Tom doesn't get it, he'll send it to me.
That's the name of the show, Milk and Mammary Glands.
Milk and Mammary Glands? That one shouldn't get me in trouble. I like that. Milk.
All right.
I'm writing this one down. Our show titles have just gotten further and further away from reality. Milk and Mammary Glands.
I was a little disturbed to click on the show last week. First of all, we only got 10 comments, which is pretty low, but I guess that was on the show to cause controversy, so that's understandable. But then I didn't want to stare at a guy with a shake weight, and that was a little freaky.
I even found a picture of a water weenie that was in the same orientation as the shake weight. I was really proud of that. You know how many water weenie pictures I had to go through to get one in the right orientation?
You just went to Google weenies, don't lie.
I Googled water weenies, and there's only a few actual water weenies. There's a lot of people in pools. doing unmentionable things.
What is the things called on the side of the pool?
Little jets, you know, where if you put it far enough, it gets a suction. Yeah.
Just
lose your penis for that, though. Actually, that's bad.
Yeah, I know. You can hurt yourself. Although everybody's tried it. Don't act like you haven't. So you were 12 and you were interested.
Tom, do you have some emails you want to go through?
Yes, we have Chris C. He responded to our question from last week about budget F&M decks, and he pointed us towards Pat Chapin's article about the new all-in list over on Channel Fireball. And
No. Pat Chapin writes for Star City Games.
Oh, sorry. I misspoke. Pat Chapin spoke about, but there's actually an article by Silvestri.
Josh Silvestri?
Exactly. Sorry, I misspoke. He mentioned Pat Chapin, but by Silvestri on Channel Fireball, they had a really good list of that you could modify by replacing potentially a couple of cards, like the Kargan Dragon Lord for something like Kiln Fiend.
Yeah, we had the Mono Red deck's been seeing actually a decent amount of success. It's not necessarily, like, pretty much everybody has their own list. We had two top 8 RPTQ last week. One had Killing Fiends and the other one had Ball Lightnings in that slot, but they both did have Kark and Dragonlords. But Kark and Dragonlord for a Mythic is actually only about $7, so it's not actually that expensive.
So it's pretty affordable to do.
Yeah, and pretty much every other card in the deck is common, uncommon, or devastating summons, or Goblin Guide. Like, you're talking about maybe like a $50 deck total if you don't want Fetch Lands. If you want Fetch Lands, it gets up a little bit, but you're still talking about under $100 for the whole deck.
Which is, you know, you could kind of choke that down for a standard season and have a good time.
Yeah, $100 is a pretty, especially when you're talking about like a top 5 deck in the format. It's not like you're talking about like a budget list that actually can't win. This deck has one PTQs and top 8 and multiple PTQs already. So like it is a solid list that you can actually win with. So $100 is a pretty good deal. You'll probably win that back in packs within like 3 or 4 weeks of building the deck. So.
And I'll have a link to the Channel Fiber article by Silvestri for everybody. Damon V, he suggests a contest with the prize of being a chance to be a guest host on the show, which I think after this one is not, I would have to pay people to come on the show.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Do you think people, this is something, and part of this is that we've had some experiments with co-hosts, positive and negative, but Marcel has been a great show. But listeners, if you think you would actually be interested in a contest where the prize was to be on the show, let me know if that would be something you think is cool. Because to me, it doesn't seem like anything special because I've been doing this for now for like 202 straight Sunday or Monday evenings. So it doesn't seem like something that's that outrageous to me.
Hey, Conley, over or under that he gets 30 affirmatives?
I'm going to take the over.
Yeah.
So you mean I think I'll get more or less emails? What does that mean?
We think that you're going to get more than 30 people saying that they'd be interested in that contest. Oh,
this would be a good ego stroke for me. So yeah, send those in.
I mean, I don't know what the exact number of listeners we have, but at the same time, like, I mean, I think we have a pretty large portion. So, like, 30 people is, like, probably nothing. It'll probably be, I mean, it seems like most people would enjoy just to, like, hang out and chat for a little while, not to, like, boost our own egos or anything like that, but.
It's fun. And, I mean, because right now I'd say to the PitImp email address, I probably get about 100-some emails a week probably right now. And we honestly do, through our media server, we do get thousands of downloads for the show. It's a lot.
Yeah, well, and just think of how many people used to call up and leave voicemails when we did those, and like,
yeah.
Like me, and
now I'm a host.
You just gotta keep bugging me. So sometimes stalking does pay off. So
well, sometimes stalking, and then Jack blackmailed you. So
all right, next to Chris A, he wrote in about we talked about the Muppet F&M ad that we talked about last show. I don't know if you guys saw this. It just incredibly
I put it on the show notes.
Yeah. And he wanted to point out that he thought it was useful just to show people what they should not do at an F&M. So if anybody did what this Muppet do, they'd probably be beaten to death at their F&M.
Oh, that was I liked that video. Like compared to most Magic videos, I thought it was actually semi funny instead of like you are Shivan Dragon's master, and then like a Shivan Dragon flies across the screen and it's done.
But what is this place at the end? At the end, the stupid Muppet actually points at like a player's hand is playing and like yells at a card that's in his hand.
Yeah, he's like he says holy S word, Baneslayer Angel or something like hilariously. It's a pretty good thing. Like it's not. I mean, for Magic things, if you take it in context, I think it's pretty funny.
That's why I guess compared to what we've had in the. It's better than watching an org battle in a fake lab.
I like that.
Those were awesome.
But Bob from accounting. That was awesome.
Yeah, those were awesome, but the last 5 years have been horrible where they have, like, a store packed with players that are, like, their cheeks are pressed against the glass and stuff like that. Those ones are horrible.
Which depends on which cheeks are pressed against the glass. We might have a good hand.
Because hey, Elaine Chase tweeted about 2 weeks ago that she found the script for the Bob from accounting again, or the storyboard for it or something.
Because it got no press from us, I would like to mention that Florian Koch won the Grand Prix in Lyon, which consisted of over 1,400 players. It was sealed deck. Notable top eighters are Bram Snapfingers, who is a longtime pro player, and they made a big deal out of him playing Bramble Snap in his sealed deck because they thought it was close to his name and it was funnier.
As opposed to Mike Baneslayer playing Baneslayer Angels in those decks.
Yeah. Marcio Calvado, people probably know who that is, and maybe Tobias Grafensteiner. Other than that, the top eight's pretty unknown, but it was a very large tournament, so it makes sense. And
sealed.
Well, sealed, I mean, like, you have to have some sealed. I mean, day two is all drafts, so it's fine. If you have nothing but constructed Grand Prix against a little board, like, for instance, the Grand Prix before Amsterdam sealed, and it actually makes it much easier on, like, me, because, you know, I'm traveling to a different country, and I always have to, already have to worry about one constructed format. So, like, having to worry about two different ones is a lot tougher when you're traveling that far and you're bringing that many cards. So it's kind of cool to, like, not have to worry about an entire Grand Prix and just go and have some fun.
Oh, no, I mean, I play in a limited Grand Prix. I couldn't play in a constructed Grand Prix because I just won't. It just wouldn't work.
Even if it was in your local area?
I'd probably try to figure out some way to get worked into coverage. Because constructed, you have to know too much about what the metagame is doing and have experience playing the decks. I don't have time to play test. I have time. I draft every once in a while, so, and I understand drafting pretty well. So I'm decent at limited, but constructed, unless I have just an uber broken deck, I'm not gonna have a shot at winning.
Well, in reality, this was just my way to extend the show 5 minutes longer.
Mission accomplished. Let's see. Dave B. He has a new blog, just kind of focusing on Magic the Gathering Online, and more about how to, I guess, the financial part about how to make tickets to further your collection. So he actually has a new article about how to make more tickets with Rise of the Eldrazi. So I'll have a link in the show notes. Kyle W. writes in. He's taking my back. He said he was boggled that people were angry about my discussion of Deathless Angel, and he points out that are people forgetting that I professed an unnatural love for Rosie O'Donnell in the past.
You know, something you didn't bring up, Tom, is Deathless Angel is a pretty political card.
Why is that?
They're trying to say that the obesity in America is not a problem and you won't die from it because she's deathless. Just saying.
She's all the McDonald's, all the secret ingredients have made her immune to just mortal peril.
Exactly.
If you shoot her, gravy comes out. That's what it was.
McDonald's paid wizards to name the card that and have that art. Just saying.
It could be. We're talking about conspiracy. You know, Hasbro. I mean, Hasbro's in there. They're a big corporation.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I'm on to something here.
You are. Let's see. He also wanted to say that he thought the name of the puppet in the Muppet video, Wooberg, was a very good name.
I'll grant him that.
Yes.
Let's see.
You didn't like the video? Come on, the video is awesome. He was like, you know, he pulls out pancakes out of his back.
I did not care for the video.
Maybe I just wasn't in the right frame of mind that time. Maybe if I watched it like earlier in the day, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty entertaining. But when it was like late, I was like, I don't care.
No, but like I said, this is not, you know, it's not going to be winning over any Super Bowl commercial ads or anything like that. But for Magic commercials, the last 5 years, they've been really crappy. And this one was funny and it had curse words, which is completely un-Magic-like. And, you know, it had some humor and I don't know. I just thought it was pretty good.
I wish they had like some sort of like crack reference, like a kind of a crack pipe come out of his backpack or something.
That would be
magic like crack.
No, I didn't find it. I found it kind of, I don't know. I found it kind of annoying and insulting. And personally, I don't need swear words to be thrown, you know, into a conversation
I understand that. I don't need swear words either. But like when they came up the first swear word, I was like, I thought for sure this was a fan paid, like a fan submitted thing. And then when you find out it actually was Wizard, you're just like, holy crap, like what the heck? Like, I mean, you know, it kind of had like a South Park-y feel to it.
Yeah, once again, we've established I'm not a big South Park fan, so.
Just because you're not, you don't live in Colorado, and you don't like beefcake.
Yeah, it'd be like you not liking MacGyver, I can understand that, but to us, MacGyver is, you know, just below Jesus.
Are you going
to
go see MacGruber?
Yes.
No.
That's from Saturday Night Live. It's hilarious. Have you ever watched the Saturday Night Live skits? MacGruber!
It's a great 30-second skit.
MacGruber!
Yeah, they do like six of them in one episode, and he's always like, he like focuses on the fact that the guy's black or something.
One of my personal favorites is, you know, there's always like a bomb and it has to be defused like in the next 15 seconds or they all die. But hand me that phone, hand me that pen, hand me that bucket of bum sperm. And the people will be like, what? I'm not touching it. And all of a sudden he's like, there's no time to argue. And then the bomb will blow up.
But it's always like, it always is like, you know, it's supposed to be 15 seconds, but it lasts like 2 minutes. And you're like, oh, that's the longest 15 seconds ever.
I do admit, I'm not sure how they're going to transition that to a 2 hour long movie. That is going to be a stretch, but it could be magical.
I love, what's her name? What's the girl's name on the.
Oh, that she, and she's also from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, what's her, I can't remember her
name.
She's
in Whip It. She's been in a couple of new movies.
Yeah,
I know who you're referring to.
I'll find out. Continue with the emails, and I'll find out.
Let's see. Carnage, he sends in a budget F&M deck. He says, Blue-White Ally Mill has been fun, where for kind of under $30, most expensive stuff being the Celestial Colonnades and the Jawari Shapeshifters. Kurt S. has a B-movie recommendation with Bubba Hotep. This one I have seen. It is a Bruce Campbell masterpiece.
So bad. Zombie Elvis.
It is Zombie Elvis.
Christian
Wiig. I have to see that.
Kristen Wiig is her name.
Kristen Wiig, thank you.
And it also has Val Kilmer in it, for all you Val Kilmer fans, and Ryan Phillippe, in case you like a little bit
Ryan Phillippe is actually... Well, no, Val Kilmer is the bad guy in the movie.
Yeah, Val Kilmer's the bad guy. Ryan Phillippe is Lieutenant Dixon Piper.
I hope they make brutal fun of him for the entire movie.
And, of course, Will Forte is MacGruber. And there's like other. There's plenty of other Saturday Night Live cast members in here as well.
And for Bubba Hotep, this is one where there's a mummy is kind of one of the other residents. Bruce Campbell, and there's one guy, a black guy, who believes he's Elvis. It's a very, very strange movie.
So bad. Like, we had free movies when I worked at the front desk in my dorm, because they basically had movies you could rent out to people that lived in the dorm for free.
We had the same thing at where I went to school.
Yeah, and we had Bubba Hotep, and it was the movie that, like, I watched every other movie on the show first, because I just didn't want to watch it, and then I finally broke down to watch it, and I was like... Can't believe I even let this go fast.
This one hurt me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Stephen, I always pronounce this wrong, M, has an EDH recommendation. I know I'll get corrected. He plays a lot of Commander on MDGO, and he recently made a white-green token deck, and he found that Pulse of the Tangle is a sleeper EDH bomb. Because basically, pretty much no matter what's happening, you're going to be making tokens every turn for free. You're always going to be getting, or not for free, but you'll be getting the card back. So he just want to say he thought that was a very good card. Adam in South Carolina, he wonders how many male models came in for the casting call and promptly left after the first take for the shake weight ad. I'm guessing a whole lot. But no, you did a good job there, but you got a grunt at the end of it. They're like, nope, I'm done. I'm out of here. Let's see. Energy 100, he writes in for another contest idea, is create one of the remaining gift variants, red, white, and black. I thought that was kind of a cool idea. Let's see, Sebastian from the Netherlands, he wants to write in about a recommendation. He recommends for a movie, Steven Spielberg's first movie from 1971 called Duel. I have never heard of this movie. So basically, it's about a man, his car's on the side of the road, he passes an old and slow truck, beginning of the movie, the truck driver's offended, and from that moment, the truck follows and terrorizes him. It sounds boring, but it may be pretty good.
Man, I think I've seen a movie like that before. Maximum Overdrive, right?
That's similar. Is that Emilio Estevez in Maximum Overdrive? I'm trying to remember.
Hey, Tom, they have a pretty good casual deck for you over at the Mothership right now.
Ooh, what is it?
Daily deck list. It's a Mother's Day-themed deck.
Sweet, with, like Mother Ruins and stuff?
With every mother and queen and all that stuff cards, with all the child cards as well, like Child of Night, Child of Thorns, every gift card, like Gifts of Granite, Gifts of Deity, etc. And like... Yeah, I just think it's pretty funny. Like, they're all one-up. It's a Highlander deck, other than basic lands, of course. And,
nice.
It looks kind of
fun. They include little girl?
Or
a half white?
No, it's a actual deck.
Actually, legal deck, okay.
You can have it in your sideboard. We'll
yeah, Grandmother Singer is in there. And yeah, some cards don't make much sense, like Kite Sail, but like there's Carpet of Flowers, which is obviously pretty funny.
Well, I guess you could sail kites with your kids, maybe, like, you know, sail a kite.
I guess there's Smother, which is kind of funny.
Let's see. Yeah, Sean has two movie recommendations, because that's all we get. We have Black Dynamite, I've never heard of, and
wow.
Then a movie called Blades, which I actually looked up. It's about a killer lawnmower, which looks atrociously bad.
Not to be confused with Blade with Wesley Snipes.
Yes, which is... I actually liked all the... I even liked Blade Trilogy.
Blade's awesome. Blade 3 is one of the funniest movies, like, Ryan Reynolds is hilarious in Blade 3.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. I have had so many people who just yell at me when I say that I like that movie. And I'm going to stand with it. I thought it was a good movie.
I've not seen Blade 3 yet, but I've watched the other two.
To be fair, I have the previously mentioned man crush on Ryan Reynolds, so don't hold it against
him. He's man crushable, I mean, without a doubt. Because not only is he like a beefcake, but he's also a very good comedy actor.
He's not really like a beefcake. Like, he's just like, he's like fit and ripped, but he's not like overly weird looking or anything.
So do you consider Mickey Rourke a beefcake? Like, what's your definition of beefcake?
Mickey Rourke? Just like Hulk Hogan or bigger.
Mickey Rourke's a big dude.
I can't think of Mickey Rourke, like how big he is off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think. Did you watch The Wrestler?
Yeah, I know who Mickey Rourke is, but it's not that big.
Like, you don't know. He's like, who's Mickey Rourke? I'm not sure Mr. Rourke's work. Can you enlighten me, Tom?
He doesn't seem like a beefcake to me. Like I said, Hulk Hogan or bigger. Like, some guy you would be like, that guy could easily be on steroids. That would be a beefcake to
me. Like Sylvester Stallone in the new Rocky?
Where
if he flexed wrong, his arm would just, like, rip its own self off his body.
But the new Rocky was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, God. I can't agree with you on that one. I'm sorry.
What? The whole scene where he's, like, talking to his son? Like, I almost cried. That was so awesome.
Just like the new Rambo when he walks home and it says Rambo on the...
New Rambo is bad, but new Rocky's awesome.
All right, we'll keep moving here because otherwise Kyle and I are going to start fighting again. We have Sawyer A. He recommends a movie that's Korean called I'm a Cyborg and That's Okay. And the only thing I found this interesting is I didn't find this, but he said the film is actually very high quality. Some parts look like on the level of Avatar. I have a hard time believing that. Next, we have AR Donut, who sends in a very good correction. I used the term Lyme disease last time. The correct would be Lyme disease. I've had Lyme disease twice.
You're a doctor and you don't even know? Come on.
It's one of those things where I say it, I always say Lyme disease. He's right. It's named after the town, Lyme, Connecticut. It is Lyme disease.
And there's Crohn disease? No, it's Crohn's.
It's Crohn's. I made a mistake. I'm not going to say narcolepsies. What I do, I'm going to remember. But he also wanted to say he's getting back into competitive magic, and after 12 years, he has 3 daughters under the age of 5, and he wanted to say that, he said, having a supportive family is key, know your capabilities, and then read strategy articles, watch coverage like GGS Live, and listen to podcasts like Monday Night Magic.
GGS Live, come on. It's GGS Live or Good Games Live, not GGS Live.
Good Games... I should say GG Live? I always say GGS, though.
Because, when you're playing somebody in a video game or whatever and they say GG or they type GG, it stands for Good Game.
Yeah.
But so it's GG's Live.
G whatever.
Or Good Games Live. Because it implies, GG's almost like LOL. Like, it's kind of its own thing. Like, it implies a word, so you don't...
So GG's Live. Okay, I stand corrected.
Do you ever say AIDS when you're talking about the viral...
No, I would say AIDS.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to think about other things that would ever always... I guess I would say SOS, though. I'm not going to say I'm sauce. I'm in trouble sauce.
No, but that's... that's just the pedigree of it, but GG's...
Okay, let's move on. This is not interesting.
It's a magic topic!
All right, JG, J-A-Y-G, he says he does agree with that all the Legendary Drives do have the Wreck Mill Clause. Basically, that just means mill decks now have a reason to play cards like Relic of Progenitus and Ravenous Trap.
No. I'm sorry, you're going too far out of your way to make a already pretty bad deck able to win in an environment like you just should not play. There's solutions to make any deck be able to beat cards that it is otherwise bad against, but then you're also diluting your strategy. Like, if you have to run main deck Relic of Progenitus and your mill strategy, like, pretty
that hurts.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, Ravenous Trap, like, that doesn't actually do anything. Like, I understand the thing, but either wait for the Eldrazi not to be played at all, or try to catch people not playing with Eldrazi, etc. Don't, like, rely on really bad subpar cards you have to run in your main deck to make your strategy work.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Now let's go back to Gino. So next we have Andy Y. He writes in, he disagreed with my comment on last show that I thought it was funny that Warhammer 40K could actually be cheaper to play than Magic in a lot of scenarios.
Warhammer 40K does have like a card game, or not 40K, it's just like, I don't know what it is, actually.
There was the Warhammer, I think it was a Warhammer 40K collectible card game for a very brief time.
But the only thing is, it's still out. Like, it's called, Invasion, something like that. I don't know. Some people play it at the card store. It's, like, weird because you know exactly every card you're going to get when you buy a booster. It's not, like, either random or anything, so
really?
you Yeah, which seems kind of weird from a marketing standpoint, because you just buy a set number of things and you build whatever deck you want to build. But, like, the game looks super confusing. There's, like, you need, like, multiple little tokens that you have to buy special, and then, like, a board for each player that represents, like, your castle or something. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I guess the only CCGs I ever – collectible card games. I'm not even going down that road. Collectible card games that I still play would be – if I can find someone to play Netrunner, I'll play Netrunner. And I also,
oh, yeah. Awesome game.
And I also play the kind of version 2 of Star Trek, where they really cleaned up the rules and how the game goes.
The only kick because I've ever played are Pokemon.
Yeah, you don't say the letters. You pronounce it goods.
Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Magic.
I mean, I liked Pokemon. I guess I did. Excuse me, I did play Pokemon for a while. I thought that was a fun game. And the Art of Fighter game was decent too, actually.
I played Star Wars, and that wasn't so great, but I played Pokemon with my kids.
I've never been, like, a
werewolf, like a vampire.
I'm very picky with my games. I like things that challenge me, and, like, I played Pokemon because it was the big fad at the time, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Was just a natural evolution, and then Magic evolved from that, so.
And if you could ever find it, this game was horribly broken. It was a game called Rage. It was, like, all about werewolves.
Yep.
We had a very limited card pool, but that game was actually a blast to play, because all the cards were very graphic, like, oh, you ripped out his spleen, or you ripped out his calf. You could, like, hobble them. It was a very fun game. It was very fast, too. Next, we have, Simon N. He writes in, actually, about the new Duels of the Planeswalkers, the paper decks. The Garruk deck is exactly the same as the Teeth of the Predator deck, that's the free Magic Online trial deck when you sign up and don't buy any cards. As, like, the trial account. So, I can't confirm if this stands for the other decks, but maybe this is where they're getting that inspiration from, too. I don't know. Let's see, Will B. All his emails did was it had a link to the full art Deathless Angel, and the title said Hefty, Hefty, Hefty. That was the entire email. So, I had to put that in. Richard T., he actually, Jack mentioned this bizarre band I'd never heard of called, God, was it called TG? What was it? I can't remember what the name of the band was anymore. But basically, this was the birth of the industrial bands like Nine Inch Nails and Ministry and these other things. He also wants to recommend a game that I've actually heard of. It's an indie game called Don't Shit Your Pants. In some ways, this is an adventure game where it's a very short game that lasts like a few minutes, but you have to navigate your environment to try to not shit yourself. You then get bonus points if you can make yourself poop in very creative ways. It's actually worth checking out. It's very, very interesting. This is why you have to kind of like indie game development. Apparently you guys don't care about that either. I'm just striking out tonight, just in general. I feel like Mike Rowe sometimes when he's on these jobs and he's trying to like kind of poke and prod the people he's working with. They're just, just kind of looking at with their jaw open like,
Sorry, I'm reading articles that touch on almost leaking some of my tech because they don't know my tech yet, and I had to make sure that it wasn't leaked.
Oh, what would you do if they did leak? If you email them, that would confirm that it's your tech. Do you just have to play dumb?
Yeah, you can't really. You just have to act like you didn't see it or change up your tech or something like that. But luckily this is close, but, well, not even really close. It's got some of the same cards, but not,
Say no more. Don't let the tech leak.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I'm going to say something very, very unethical. This is a hypothetical. I don't think you'd ever do this. If, say, you had your super secret tech, would you ever write an article talking about your tech, but then write an article about how it's bad and nobody should play it?
No.
I mean, it's unethical, but do you think that's ever happened?
I'm sure it's happened, but, like, I just avoid talking about my decks. Like, I mean, you could be pretty positive. If there's a Grand Prix within 2 weeks and I write about a deck, it's a deck that I tried out for sure, or, like, a deck that I think has potential, but it's not necessarily my front runner at the time. Like, for instance, the Warpal deck that I was talking about, I actually have that built and proxied up, and I tested it this weekend. It's not like it's completely against, like, not an option for me, but at the same time, it's not my front runner and not even really close. Because, I mean, like, I do play this game professionally. I do have to watch out for myself. Like, you don't, you know, you don't work for, like, an insurance company and then go tell all the other insurance companies your new secret promotion to, like, get people, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to kind of pick and choose what you write about. So I don't ever, like, blatantly lie or anything like that. I just kind of sidestep topics if I have to.
Well, but I mean, you and most other authors, reputable authors, are pretty upfront and honest about it. I mean, in your articles, you come out and say, look, these are decks that I've been trying out. They're not quite there. Maybe you might be able to tweak them to get them there. You know,
yes.
And you reference where things have fallen apart. I've seen Pat Chapin talking about, it's coming up. You know, the format's coming close. These types of decks are the decks that are in our gauntlet, you know, but, you know, that, you know, there's some sick stuff out there that, you know, can, you know, handle them. But he didn't go into exactly what that sick stuff is. I mean, you know, sure.
Exactly. You're very rarely going to get somebody that's just like, here's my list, I'll be playing in 2 days. Like, if you really want that list, you can wait till after the event they're going to be playing it in, or kind of construct it on your own. At the same time, though, it's not like the information they're giving you is 100% irrelevant or anything like that. So,
all right, guys, that is the end of my emails. Do you guys have any emails you want to share?
Do you know how many tangents we went on this week that were actually Magic related? It could be the highest number of Magic related tangents ever.
I mean, really, I would say a majority of them were Magic related, and that is much higher than usual.
It's my presence.
I'm pretty proud of that. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Eric, Mom, and thank you, Biological Mom.
Happy Mother's Day to all the Magic mothers, mother singleton.
Yeah. Hey, great! If you are a mother that plays Magic, send us an email and we will read everybody that we get emails from. I would love to hear from anybody that's a mother that plays Magic.
Man, sure. We should have thought of this last week.
Yes.
Well, Eric, since this is the theme, over under at 6 on the number of emails from mothers.
Under.
That's what I would say too.
I would guess because. This is one of those things that's where it's tough for like anything for like writing Magic articles or podcasts. You are capturing the audience that's already seeking out that information. You're not capturing a lot of those kitchen table players that have never looked at an article online for strategy. They just play with what's in their shoebox or whatever.
I'm sure there's a ton of fathers that listen, just not to me mothers.
Yeah. But if you're a mother, give us an email. We'll give you a shout out to you, your family, whoever, your pets, because obviously I like pets. You know,
like Crystal from Damage on the Stack. We know you've got to be listening.
Yes. Does she? But I guess I didn't know if she was a mother.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why they quit their podcast is her and is it Dave, who was her husband? I think I got their names right. Man, I hope I got their names right. Anyway, they were pregnant, and they you know, the last several episodes they have you know their child is definitely making noises in the background and you know interrupting the podcasting, and I'm sure that life with child is completely what hosts their podcast.
Okay, well, there you go.
Hey, we have bastard of a child.
Get back in the kennel. There you go. I know we call it a crib, but it's actually a kennel.
Sure. I do have an email, though.
So at least give one email. There we go. Help me make Eric Conley wrong.
So Stephen McLean.
So guys,
Stephen McLean sent us. Are you hearing me?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have an email.
Oh,
I want to share an email.
You just had a little stroke there and just started spell out random names. Jimbo McCracken. Oh, Steve McQueen. George Jefferson.
Buster Stevenson.
Yeah, Jonas. I'm just looking for names. Jonas Gustafson. I'll use my own.
How many names in a row can we say without every listener turning off the podcast?
Okay, Eric, share me what Steve McCracken has to say.
Steve McLean.
Oh, was doing John McLean. Die Hard.
He wants us to know about a new community, draw3cards.com. It's a totally free community for Magic players to ask questions, answer questions, and build a resource for themselves and other players. So it's built off of something which is like a programmer use Stack Overflow as a resource. So that same kind of thing, which I haven't used, but I may check out anyway. And he wants to let us know that it exists to get people kind of to go check it out because, you know, we have awesome power, as he credits Tom with getting Ooze and Imps into Zendikar block. So
I will take credit for that. Even if it's not mine, I'll take credit for it.
He says that we definitely have power, so he's
Do I get credit for Kiln Fiend since Weed Dragonauts is my favorite card ever?
Yeah, and Kiln Fiend rocks, so yes.
Kiln Fiend's got to be mine. That's me. Thank you, Wizards R&D.
So thank you. I think I may have gotten this email too, and I it's in the other 50 emails I got this past week that I haven't responded to yet. But Kali, any specific emails for you? I know you get a ton of kind of deck ones, but anything you wanted to bring up?
Not really. If you send me an email and you want me to bring it up on the show, you should make a note, like either in the subject column or like somewhere in the email. That way I can know to bring it up, because if you send me like a deck or something, I don't necessarily know if you want me to bring it up on the show, because some people don't like to share that kind of stuff. So it would do me a service to let me know if you want me to mention it on the show. Also, if anyone wants to, since I get all kinds of photoshopped images of myself doing lewd and unprecedented.
Sorry, the one poo bucket one was very well done.
I want to see everybody do photoshops of Eric as a mother.
Hey, wait.
I love how I'm not even the target of this. I'm the one always sweet.
Possibly lacking. Just saying.
This is like a wet t-shirt contest for Eric, but with the wet t-shirt.
Yeah, Eric, a mother, like you could be like reading to like little kids while you're like fondling yourself. I don't know what you're doing, but I'll leave that up to the listeners. That's my call.
How come I get to be the target of this? I never bring up make a picture of Conley looking like whatever. That is always Tom. I had
three specific contests developed to have me in lewd and unflattering positions, and so I'm calling the listeners who are geniuses to do something with you and the mother theme. That's all I'm saying.
The listeners are gifted in this regard, and I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah. Girl Scout ones were very well done. That was amazing.
Luckily, you don't have as many pictures on the internet as I do, so you're a little safer.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. They'll find them.
There's one I know. I think when you wrote an article over on Starkington Post, I think there's a little picture of you on there, I think. If people need to
find
it.
It's probably the one from my Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's the same one.
It's probably the one from my Twitter.
You're smiling. So, it's a good photo. Yeah. It'd be like the bearded lady thing. But
do you realize our Skype call?
It's not the me that I'm worried about in the photo. It's the rest of it.
We have hit over 2 hours on our Skype call.
Yep, yeah, we're rapidly approaching. So we will go on. We'll finish up, wrap up our MTG Cast news. There's really not much to bring up. The one thing I want to ask again for any of our listeners, if you are like a web developer, right now, we'll make this brief, we're running based off of a WordPress blog, you know, with different themes to it. I am open to investigating different kind of web technologies or frameworks to potentially kind of do MTG Cast version 2 to sort of make it a little bit more easy to use, easier to find information about the podcasters and the podcasts and videos and whatnot. If you have a recommendation, examples like Ruby on Rails, you know, whatever the platform is, if you have experience and think it would be a good fit for developing this kind of a site, let me know so I can look at some of these just to learn more. There's so many technologies out there right now, it's really hard to investigate them on your own if you have no experience with them to know which one's
Dave
good
Astles,
which one's bad.
We're looking at you.
Yes. So, yeah, Dave, actually, because I actually have met Dave. He showed me his iPhone app. So, yes. Yeah, if you have any input or recommendations, just email me to those, and I will greatly appreciate that.
Is that what they call these days, Tom? The iPhone apps?
Yep. And usually we do that in, like, you know, a certain bathroom in the mall.
What about the airport? You could be, like, a governor or something.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's
I mean,
time to cut
that stuff
this
happens
thing
there.
Off.
I mean, there's a website, though, where you can, like, where people list bathrooms, like in malls or airports, wherever it is, where if you show up at certain times on a certain day.
And if you don't already know what Tom is talking about, and you're, say, under the age of 14, 15,
don't
16,
look it up, please.
Don't go there.
This is political news, though. Like, it happens all the time. Like, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I guess, but even if you're underage, like, you should at least know to avoid those bathrooms at those times. Right? So, I mean, you'd be like, wow, I need to really take a
this
down.
Is
what
Monday
is
Night Magic suggesting you avoid the proper bathrooms at the proper time.
4 p.m. on a Tuesday, you should stay far, far away. Same with, like, I won't go any farther.
Unless
I go back, because while we're podcasting, I actually was signing a birthday card to my 89-year-old great aunt, so I should feel really dirty. I love you, Aunt Cherry. So, there you go.
Make it stop.
All right, guys, we're at the end of the podcast. We have anything more, we will do B-movie recommendations next time, but we're signing out. Do you guys have any last statements for the show?
This is epic.
I got gas.
You do have gas. So, guys, we are going to sign off. It has been a two-hour-long marathon, but it was very, very entertaining. Join us next week for episode 207. We'll be talking about more Magic news.
I will do the entire show on Ambien.
Why? Wow, Conley's going to drop an Ambien before he does the next show. I like this.
It'll actually be my last show before I depart for like 2 weeks, so I'll be here hopefully.
I want you to drop some Ambien so we can get some just crazy Ambien behaviors on there. Also, you'll see you'll get up and start making some waffles in your kitchen and drop them on the floor and come back in. And
No. Pancakes. So we pack them in his backpack.
Yes.
Yep. Getting in all of my cards.
So, guys, send us emails. We have lots of stuff to go through. We'll try to read as many emails again next week. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week, or talk to you next week.